Welcome in, everyone, to the Kia Sports Podcast. Tonight, we got a loaded episode. As boxers join us, amateur boxers, Julia Horton, as well as Amanda Frohlig, two women who absolutely stole the show this past weekend at Ed King's, as well as MMA fighter professional Travis Davis. So sit back, put your feet up, and enjoy the show. Welcome in, everyone, to the Kia Sports Podcast. We are brought to you by all of our fine sponsors. If you want to be a fine sponsor, go ahead and contact me, Vince McKee, at CoachVin14@yahoo.com. We will get you all set up. Each sponsor gets a 30-second commercial read during every single podcast that we do, every single game that we call, every single fight that we call, every single MMA fight, boxing bout. It doesn't matter. If it's there, if it's going on, if we got the recorder on, we're talking about your company during it. And like I said, very special episode tonight, guys. Simply because, again, we are dealing with two sports in which a lot of our fans love. Most of our fan base lately has been driven by boxing and our MMA coverage as well. And, you know, honestly, this past Friday night, me and Eli Mooningham did the play-by-play in color for the Friday Night Fight 17 promoted by Ed King and Vonda Ward. And there were a ton of good fights, ton of good fighters. T-County Boxing did a tremendous job. So did Strong Style. Both did a tremendous job. They're fighters, I should say. And but there's a couple females, women boxers, you know, best way to put it. Hey, these girls are all business. They were both tremendous. Amanda Frohlig, as well as Julia Horton. So again, those two, in my humble opinion at least, stole the show. Both of their bouts, they were victorious in the two female bouts that we had. So tonight, as it stands, unless there's any cancellations or anything I don't expect, it will be Amanda batting leadoff for us, Travis in the middle, and then we will finish up, hopefully with a lot of time permitted, I hope, for Julia Horton as well. As I said, though, guys, this is important. You know, we talk about those commercial reads. They are very vital to what we do. We will honor your business. We will give you more business than you ever thought possible. And let's start off with our first sponsor tonight, Richard Ward of RE/MAX Beyond 2000. He is the number one real estate agent worldwide, and he is your hometown expert. Richard Ward is a full-time realtor specializing in listing homes, new home construction, military relocation, and pricing strategies. Whether buying or selling, Richard Ward has the experience, knowledge, and determination to get the job done. For more information, contact Richard at Richard Ward Realty. That's RichardWardRealty.com, or reach out to him on Facebook. Our newest sponsor comes to us from the champion, the 165-pound Kincaid Goddard champion, my man, my good buddy, Nick Dujanair. Nick, Tommy's Barbershop is what he brings to us. Tommy's Barbershop. Guys, are you looking for the premier place to get your chop? Go where the champ, Nick Dujanair, goes, to Tommy's Barbershop. They will treat you right and keep you looking good for any occasion. You can visit them at 5331 Broadview Road in Parma. Looking for insurance? Aren't we all? Cobra's Insurance. Cobra's Insurance has been serving the Cleveland area for over 50 years. They are your independent agents, so they have lots of companies to find customers the best rate. They specialize in car, home, life, and business. They are family-run and have two locations, one in Elyria, one in Avon Lake. You know, over the weekend, we met with Angela DeFore, a tremendous woman, her husband Tony as well. They do together, you know, husband and wife tag team, own so many businesses, Cleveland Fitness Club, Airport Go-Kart, Car Parts Warehouse. You really should check them out. For 20 plus years, the Cleveland Fitness Club has been much more than a place to go work out. They have it all, bikes, tracks, courts, and even pools. They truly have something for everyone and are open 365 days a year. You can visit them today at 6600 West 130th Street in Woodward Heights, as well as, we mentioned it there, Airport Go-Kart. If you're looking for a fun time with your kids and friends once the weather starts to warm up, head over to Airport Go-Kart at 16208 Brook Power Road in Cleveland. It's fun for everyone involved and at a next to nothing price. Basically, guys, it's a good time for cheap. We all know Paul Schill, everybody's favorite ring announcer. Well, he also owns Fishin' Mission Charter Service. If you're looking for the very best fishing experience of your life, contact Fishin' Mission Charter Service at 216-276-5658. or by email at fishandmission@yahoo.com. Paul provides you and your crew with a fun-filled day on a marblehead on Lake Erie. His 25-foot sport craft, guys, it is loaded with the latest in marine electronics. For your convenience, there's also a freshwater sink, marine toilet, live wells, and plenty of storage space. You know, right around this time, about a year ago, I bought my dad a car from Helene Kia. Helene Kia is where you want to go in North Olmsted on Lorraine Road. Reach out to my guy, James McConville. I'm telling you right now, go to Helene Kia, James McConville, Jimmy McBone. He will set you up with whatever your next ride needs to be. Hockey season here in high school is starting to wrap up. We got the state championships next weekend. And if you are looking for equipment, good equipment, check out Hosier Hockey online. It's www.hosierhockey.org. You can also find them on Amazon. They have the very best in hockey tape, wax, lace, and apparel. You know, my girl there, Jennifer McGuire of Jenny's Popcorn, we are so happy to have her with us. She is a big supporter of everything we do. And Jenny's Old Fashioned Popcorn is also a family-owned tradition that has been serving customers in Northeast Ohio and beyond for 65-plus years. You can find their flavors anywhere popcorn is sold, including Giant Eagle and Mark's. Visit them online at Jenny's Popcorn or in person at 38727 Taylor Parkway in North Ridgeville. Guys, I'm running out of breath here. That is only page one. Can you hear the papers? Can you hear them? Page one of sponsors, sponsor reads. We still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more to go. A ridiculous amount of sponsors because of how low the price is, what you get for it. It's incredible. We'll read one more before we get to Amanda here. And if you have a sweet tooth, Rocket Fizz Candy has you covered. With everything from your childhood to today, they didn't miss a beat putting together this magnificent display of candy and soda paradise. It's a really cool store. You don't want to miss it. Check them out. 530 Euclid Avenue, Suite 22B in the heart of the 5th Street Arcade. I was just there yesterday. It really is candy and soda paradise. Any kind of candy you could think of, they have. Any kind of soda you could think of, they have. They have, like, license plates from when you were a kid. Like, these metal plates. I mean, they have everything you could think of. Toys, they got it all. You don't want to miss out. But you know what? I lied. How about one more? One more sponsor read, and then we'll get to Amanda. Frankie's Italian Cuisine. Looking for a place to enjoy a post-game meal? Love Italian food like I do? That's why you got to get to Cleveland Fitness or the Workout Factory to work off those pounds. But anyways, Frankie's Italian Cuisine has you covered for meatball and lasagna. Visit them tonight at 4641 Great Northern Boulevard in North Olmsted. The other night at Friday Night Fights at King of Von Awards, excellent promotion that we were lucky enough to be a part of. Blessed enough, I should say. There was a young woman named Amanda Froelich. She absolutely ran through Sydney Vance, stopping her. Just a tremendous job. But the story doesn't start, end, or even have a middle part there. It turns out Amanda Froelich, 39 years old, but to her and to anyone else watching her, age is only a number. And I'm going to bring her on now to tell you why, because this young woman is quickly on her way to the top with the work ethic she has, the experience she has under her belt, both of her black belts, I should say. Just tremendous, tremendous stuff from Amanda, and we are going to go ahead and get her on the phone right now.
Hi.
So, guys, we are honored to be joined on the phone here by Amanda. Amanda, good evening.
Good evening.
I was just telling the fans here listening in on the recording just how impressive you looked last Friday night against Sydney Vance. I told my, you know, my broadcast partner, Eli Mooningham, I said, I think she's going to stop her. You know, it really looked like Sydney was running out of gas. I mean, you were just nonstop. So, you know, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on that. That was an excellent performance.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess she took it on like a 2 weeks notice. I had a girl that agreed like 2.5 months ago, and then she just automatically somehow backed out, and he found this girl. She had more experience than I did and took it on a 2 weeks notice. So, I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be some kind of easy, so.
No, I hear you. let me ask you this. Where did you grow up, and, you know, what sports did you play in your youth and in high school?
I basically did all martial arts.
Awesome. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Canton, Ohio, and now I currently train in New Philly.
Okay, cool. And you're out of T County?
I'm sorry?
You're out of the T County Boxing Academy?
I do not. I actually train at Route 250 Health and Performance. We just started like a boxing class here in January. So I had my trainer that was there at the fight is Josh Kissinger, and then I also had some stuff with Robert Payne.
Oh, very cool. And, you know, the one thing people need to realize is, you know, I mentioned it before, you know, age is only a number.
Right.
You've been around the fight game for a long time in a different, a very different way other than boxing. And I was kind of hoping I was kind of hoping you could tell us a little bit about your grappling background, including your black belt and your certified weapons training.
Sure. I have a black belt in Shotokan karate, and then I have a third degree, and it's called Soga Bujutsu. So it's basically like the study of everything martial arts related. And then I have certifications and weaponry, and then I also have it's called a Menkyo license. You can mostly only get it in Japan, but I took it here, and it took me about 2 years. So I learned the kind of like behind the scenes type deal on how to manipulate body and to kind of, it's just kind of creepy, I guess. So rather than the arts, rather than the prettiness of it, I know the why of how things are done and stuff like that. But no, I kind of basically then started out with that, and then I just went to grappling because I just thought, I'm like, well, the other style was against multiple people, and I knew being a female, I'd always be taken down or picked up, and I just wanted to learn the ground game, so kind of applied what I knew and took it to the ground. And then they're like, well, I wanted to go pro with grappling. They're like, why don't you try fighting? So, tried fighting.
No, it's smart on your part, because as I'm sitting there with Eli, I kid you not, it went through my brain. I'm like, okay. I'm like, here's a beautiful young woman. I'm like, she's skinny. I'm like, she's skinny as a rail. I'm like, but she would probably kick any guy's ass who came within, you know, 10 feet of her to try to, like, do something. Where, like, it was just, I was so impressed with everything about you. And I'm being dead serious. I did not think, not that 39 is old. I'm 37. And I do not feel old one bit. But, however, I'm sitting here watching an amateur event. You look young as can be. Like, you honestly look like you were in your early 20s, if not your late teens. I mean, how does that make you feel? Like, you probably see, you know, women your own age, and they're, I don't want to use the term over the hill, because I do not want to offend anybody tonight. But do you know what I mean?
Like,
you had to have, like, unbelievable confidence.
I don't know. You know, I guess everybody's like, all in the genes, I guess. But, yeah, I will be actually turning 40 here in May, and I feel definitely in my prime, you know. I feel really, really good. I have really good trainers here, and the cardio workout that they have me go through, I've even have guys try to go, come in to get work in, and they just can't even hang through half of my workout. They just literally, I bring a trash can, and they throw up in it. So, I mean, I train like 5 hours for 6 days a week. So I did that for, 6 weeks, 6, 7, 8 weeks. So
that's incredible. God bless you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. And then, you know, your history is very, you know, because I did my homework on you. Your history is very MMA based. And what I mean is, you know, what I think is that everything you've done would have put you into a cage instead of a boxing ring. So let me ask you this then, because this is something I've been dying to ask you since, you know, I started doing my homework on you. What led you into boxing instead?
Wait, say that one more time.
I guess the best way I could say this is, how come you chose boxing over being in MMA full time?
All right. Well, so here's the thing. Like 2.5 years ago, I think, I ended up tearing my ACL and all my cartilage in my knee. And I still even trained up to the day before I had the surgery. The surgery was supposed to be a 90-minute surgery. It took 4.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
They kind of took my hamstring, and they re-put it back in. And literally, when I got down, the doctor's like, you will never be able to fight again. And I'm like, guess what? I was back in the gym in 4 weeks. I was going over just grappling drills, working with some guys. And then they're like, got to do physical therapy. And so boxing is a lot of footwork, a lot of cardio. So I had boxing with a guy named Dion Montgomery in Louisville, and he dedicated a lot of time just for me and got me down with some stuff. And then, you know, I had couple, a lot of my other teammates up here at in New Philly, and it just kind of, like, took off. So, basically, I guess by me almost darn near breaking my leg, got me into boxing. But as you could have seen in my fight, I backed her up right in front of my coach, basically just went, like, I had her back up against the cage.
Yeah.
And just yeah, I thought for sure he was going to stop at that second round.
Me too. Me too. I don't know if you...
I was shocked. I'm like, what happened, you know, when he pulled us apart? I'm like, I don't think I did anything wrong, you know, so, yeah. Well, I had to stop grappling because the people I was training with when I was sparring, I'm like, I don't really understand. I have her head. Like, what's going on here? And they're like, you're guillotining her. You can't do that. I had sparring partners in that came in here, and I felt bad, but we were just kind of going, like, really easy because I was working on my distance. My other friend, she's, like, I don't know, a foot and a half taller. I broke her front tooth.
Oh, Lord.
And then she brought in a girl that she kind of knew, and she was ranked number one nationally, and I split her lip. And then my other friend, like, so my coach, he ran off just for a second. I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's just get this out of the water. Let's just, like, play a little bit first round. And then all of a sudden, he saw me running, and he's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I broke her. So I, like made her nose like old lady, and I'm like, man. So now it's funny, because they'll come in, and they're like, you got to sign a waiver and have a mouth guard.
Wow. They're going to call it the Amanda rule pretty soon.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm taking teeth.
No, that is so flipping cool. And, like, you know, the one thing, if my co-host, you know, I always tease him, you know, he never shuts up for more than 5 consecutive seconds, but I tried to sneak it on that broadcast. I'm like, she's going to stop her. I'm like, I can't believe they haven't stopped this fight yet. And that was in the, right. that was in the second round. I don't know. Hopefully it made air. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, she's going to get stopped, you know? So let's kind of transition a little bit to why you were able to, you know, stay in such good shape. You know, tell me just a little bit about what your diet consists of, like your nutrition, and also what you put into a day of training. So let's say, you know, you wake up in the morning, what are you going to eat? Where are you going to go train? What are you going to train with? And then what are you going to put in your body for lunch and dinner?
Well, yeah, that's the fun part. So my diet is not really awesome. I'm actually going to start talking with a nutritionist, but usually if I have to, like, cut weight, I mean, of course, you've got, like, your chicken, your eggs and your green beans and whatnot. But then I started doing, like, protein shakes and some fruit, like, before I would, like, work out. But yeah, I'm not the greatest for food wise. but when I come in and I train, usually it's from about 5 o'clock I get here, and then I train until 10 o'clock at night. And so my warm up is 25 minutes on like a treadmill or running, and now I'm getting down to like almost a 7-minute mile. So I'll get like maybe 3.5 miles in. Wow. And then I go, and then there's like a rope machine, and I do rounds on a rope machine. So it's almost like climbing rope, like probably 10 times. And then there's like a piston machine for like punches, and I do that. I throw like a wall ball. I throw like a 12-pound weight against the wall. And then I do a bike sprint. So I'll do like four minute bike sprints for about at 35 miles an hour, and then I will start a workout with a class, and then I get my rounds in on mitt work.
That's unreal.
I mean, everything is like boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I mean, I literally have to have somebody like, hurry up and give me water. Like, I don't have a rest break.
And I don't
really lift, so I'm going to try to work out and lift. I just lift people. So, yeah, all my muscles are from grappling or from punching or just lifting. Like, my training partners are, like, 175, so.
No, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see some people even try, like, 10 minutes of that workout. They'd be on the floor. That is great.
Yeah.
You know, why do you feel, you know, because, you know, we've talked about a lot already about your background, obviously your nutrition, your exercise routine, everything you do. You know, but if you were to pinpoint one or two things, why do you feel, number one, strictly in boxing, that you were successful on Friday night against Sydney Vance, but why you feel or what you need to do to continue to be successful, if this is something you're going to take dead serious, which I feel like you will, because it seems like you take everything dead serious, right. You know, moving forward.
The thing I would say differently is my training camp was so much different than the ones I've had before. I had more kind of focused attention. basically that this is what we were gonna do. Kind of had fun, you know, with training. It wasn't so, I don't know, he wasn't like so up in my face about certain things, and a lot of things I had a lot of time on my own to think. I knew coming into this I wasn't gonna lose, and you know, my trainer was, you visualize you're winning, so you're already winning. It already happened. So you just keep positive thinking the whole time. It's already happened. I'm already winning. But I just knew I had so many people just kind of really look up to me, and I really didn't want to let anybody down. Like, they drove far enough to come watch me, and them giving up their time, I just really appreciated that. But I got asked for a grappling match here soon, so I'm going to try for that. And then I have, like, Team USA, but I selected a group of people to go to Florida this year to compete for 4 days straight at MMA grappling. So oh, I got tons of focus on here. But
no, that's,
yeah, we'll just see.
That's incredible. I mean, and you know, what is in the future for Amanda Frolick? And how do I say your last name so I don't butcher it? Is it Frolick?
It's actually Frolick. It's totally fine.
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's totally fine.
So, I mean, because that was one of my questions, you know, what is next? But you pretty much just answered that. So let me X that one out. You know, kind of a fun one here as we wrap up. We're going to be talking to Julia Horton pretty soon, who also fought the other night. And I wanted to make sure I got both you guys on the same show, because as I said in the opening, and you'll hear this when I post it next week, just how impressed I was by both you guys, both you gals, I should say. You really stole the show, in my opinion. You know,
I wish I would have gotten to see her, but see, I used to cross train a lot at Strong Style.
Okay.
And then I just haven't been able to make it up there, and my gym here is so awesomely great to me. They've covered a lot of costs, a lot of headache or anything for me, whatever, you know, I needed. They provided it for me, so I didn't have to worry about it, and for that, I was, like, super grateful, so I had all the time just to come up here and work. I didn't really feel like I needed to go anywhere else. I do want to go back to Strong Style. I like to cross-train there a lot, and I'm, you know, you start to get, like, almost like a family type going, so I do kind of miss my family over there, so I will definitely, also, knowing that she's over there, I can get some work in. We could probably help each other out and stuff like that, so, because it's hard to find, you know, people to train with that are pretty close to, you know, around a really good level or experience or, and, you know, also trust their coaches. So you're not going to, like, beat the living daylights out of each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but hope not. Yeah. No,
I'm excited to kind of, like, meet her. And then the other girl I saw before, her name was Alicia, which they asked me to go up and kind of get some work with her this weekend. I just can't get up there, but it's a great facility up there, too. So, yeah.
No doubt. When you're not competing and training and everything else, what do you do to relax a little bit?
I am actually a mother and a wife, but I am a mother of three. And my oldest, she will be 18 this year, but she does BMX. And she just kind of got into that. I kind of help her out, drive her around with that. And, I work. I'm an accountant. So I help run a business. I just find everything, put it in a puzzle, and somehow it just worked out. Yeah.
That's slick. That's, I mean, people always ask me, like, what do you do when you're bored? And I always tell them, I haven't been bored since high school, man. Like, I have a full-time job myself.
Yeah.
I work in accounting, per se, in AR, for Continental Rubber out in Fairlawn, Ohio. So it's a fancy term, you know, when you say you work in AR, it's a fancy term for bill collectors, so I do that. I do that 45 hours a week. I do Keon Sports at night. You know, Keon Sports is my passion here. I just started this 2 months ago. Before that, I was, you know, did freelance sports writing for 5 years. And obviously, you know, my number one thing that I do is I'm a father and a husband, you know. So, yeah, I can relax. What is that again? Like, that'd be kind of nice, you know. So,
yeah.
Just to kind of wrap everything up for you, is there anything you need to plug? Any sponsors you want to plug or any social media links? Go right ahead.
Well, first of all, also, you know, I definitely have to thank my trainers, Josh Kissinger and Robert Meath. And also, I have my manager. His name is Jason Adams. But I have 13 sponsors. And my sponsors, we are kind of like, I keep, you know, they always keep tabs on me. They've grown to be like a family. I have kind of my choice is I have like, you know, had some like, no, I don't want to be with you. Or, you know, we all have to kind of like work together. So, yeah, if you could just like give me like, I can like maybe spit all these out like super fast, they would appreciate it.
Okay, right. Ready,
set. Are you ready?
Yeah, no, are you looking at your trunks or your what do you got to look at? Are they all on there?
I have a small little note, so I don't leave anybody out.
All right, ready?
So bad.
Okay. Ready. Take a deep breath. Here we go. Ready, set, go.
Go. Okay. Onnit, War Tape, Defense Soap, Toast Products, Born Primitive, Hydra's Performance, Combat Corner, Grip Mouth Guard, Rock Form, Art Advantage Photography, Band Swatch Group, Skull Candy, and Wicked Audio.
Dude, I like Skull Candy. That's a cool name. And I've heard of Guy Sacco with Defense Soap, too.
He is amazing. So amazing. Like, I don't even wear makeup anymore.
Nah, you could. So, here's what I want you to do.
I'm almost 40 and I don't even wear makeup. Like, that stuff is amazing.
Heck yeah. When you go ahead and share this, you make sure that you send it to all 13 of those sponsors. Let them know they got a free plug on Keon Sports Media Group.
Oh, really?
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Great. Yeah, I first started out actually with Fight Chick. They're like, hey, can we do like a write up on you? And I'm like, they're like, for some super woman or some whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm just like an average person. And they're like, no, this is pretty cool. And then from there, it just kind of grew. I got with Andrew Craig with Onnit. And then I had my ACL and I was kind of talking to him back and forth. You know, and they just kind of like helped set it all off. And then Grip Mouth Guard, like, my MMA fight, my mouth got so nasty, you know, but Grip Mouth Guard, like, by having that mouth guard, it literally saved my face. So, I mean, every single one of them, there's a reason behind every single one of them. So, they're absolutely amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we got a ton with Keon Sports. You probably see me up there every night hawking like a car salesman trying to get more. But we want to thank you for coming on the podcast, obviously. I wish I had more time. This is just a loaded episode. We got Travis up next. And then Julia. No, you're good. And then Julia Horton at the end here. So I want to thank you. Look for this to post next week, and I will keep you posted as well. And congrats again, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Have a wonderful night.
All right, you too. Bye.
And we want to thank Amanda again. Just a tremendous job out of her. I am very excited to see what is going to happen next for her. She was incredible. You're going to need to see her box. So let's try to get Travis on the phone and keep this party rolling. All right. So joining us now is Travis Davis, a fighter who I was lucky enough to watch fight numerous times at the end of 2017. And then quite a few times in 2018. So he is the man, guys. If you haven't seen a Travis Bam Bam Davis fight yet, you're missing out. You want to check this guy out. He's a legit badass. He's a former Marine. He is somebody who I am honored to call a friend. And honestly, I don't know if my wife's going to hear this, but I'm pretty sure my wife has a bit of a crush on him, too. So just, I think my aunt does, too, as crazy as that is. So anyways... The Lady Killer, Travis. What's going on, man? It's been a minute.
Not much, man. Doing good, for the most part. That is, I mean, you know, biggest MMA show in Columbus, Ohio this weekend, and I'm not on the card, so you know, just doing what I can.
Yeah, and we're definitely gonna talk about that. Trust me. You know, one of the kind of suck ass things for me when I left Iron Tiger to start my own company. Is I consider Travis a friend, and I'd become friends, you know, with quite a few MMA fighters that I respected, who I met along the lines there and stuff. And I always said that, you know, when I went on to do my own thing, I was going to have them on the show, or, you know, if I was writing, I would interview them because they deserved it. You know, that was one of the things, unfortunately, you know, I was kind of hamstringed on when I was with those guys, that I couldn't really do, you know, because of contracts and, you know, all kinds of bullshit. So it was cool to you know, go off on my own, and I'm glad we have Travis. But Travis, honestly, man, really cool to talk to you again. Let me ask you this, and you know, a lot of these early questions I already know the answers to, but our fans might not. So if, you know, don't be like, you know, Vince, you're a dumbass, you know the answer to these, trust me. But where did you grow up, and when you were growing up, what athletes did you look up to?
So I grew up in Upper Marion, Ohio, and got into MMA and stuff, some of my inspirational fighters that kind of made me want to do it was, BJ Penn was one of my favorite fighters, man, because he always showed up to scrap. The biggest thing about him was obviously, the guy was super talented and, people questioned how hard he worked and stuff like that, but he always showed up to fight, and that's what I loved about watching him fight. So he was definitely a big inspiration for me getting into MMA. As far as other sports, man, I'm a little older, so Emmitt Smith was, the big thing when I was growing up as far as football and stuff goes. And I played, every sport there was when I was growing up. My mom kept us in everything we could, probably so we weren't at home terrorizing her. those are some of the big names and stuff. And, obviously Michael Jordan was big when we were growing up. And,
yep.
As far as MMA goes, that was it. And, boxing and stuff, I really only knew about heavyweights at the time, Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis and all those guys. But now that I'm more into fighting and stuff, honestly, the smaller guys I feel like are the most fascinating guys to watch. Just what they're able to do with the speed and the angles and the setting up the different punches and stuff. It's very cool to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I'm 37, so I got about a decade on you. But the, I grew up with Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, John Elway, Dan Marino in football, Jordan, Barkley, Ewing Malone in basketball. I mean,
Oh my God. Of every sport.
Hell yeah. Like the golden era. People.
Yeah, exactly.
I was spoiled without even realizing it. Let me ask you this question. This is something I actually do not know the answer to, so I'm kind of excited to get an answer out of you. A young guy, a lot going on for you. Why did you decide at the time, because I'm guessing you were either 18 or 19, why did you decide to join the military?
Easy question, man. I grew up in a small town, and to be honest with you, man, there wasn't a lot of options there. You're either a farmer, an entrepreneur, you went to college and obviously, moved out of the town, or you were a factory worker. And I tried working in the factory for about 6 months when I was 18. It didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
I quit, and one of my buddies came to me and was like, man, I want to get out of here. I need to get out and see what the world is like. And we originally went to go to join the Coast Guard together, and at the time I was too fat to get in. And they told me I had to lose 30 or 40 pounds.
Damn.
And he ended up leaving about 3 months later. And I went and started talking to some of the other branches. And the Marine Corps, when I called them, I got the answer machine. And it was like, this is the Marine Corps recruiting station for Findlay, Ohio. If you think you're man enough to leave a message, go ahead. And man, I was hook, line, and sinker. I was like, well, my name is Travis Davis, and I'm ready to go right now. And 3 weeks later, I was on a bus to South Carolina at a boot camp.
No, oh, man, that's slick. I'll tell you what, too, because this is a story I do know because you told me the last time around. Hey, how does a guy get into boxing? How does a guy get into MMA? Is there something wrong in his brain? How does it happen? You in the military, you had an experience one time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you either had to punch somebody in the face or get punched in the face. Tell me a little bit about that. There had to be at least one or two crazy stories in your military time.
Yeah, man. Honestly, when I was in boot camp, I was involved in two tight incidents in boot camp with two Marines that we were in there with. But what really got me into it was I was started doing the Marine Corps martial arts training, and I just really kind of fell in love with it with my wrestling experience. And we went to Thailand for a training exercise. We were there for a month, and went out drinking one night.
Yeah.
A couple of my Marine buddies talked me into fighting a Muay Thai fighter while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy broke my nose and gave me a black eye and stuff, but I won the fight. And, dude, I was immediately addicted. The adrenaline rush and that feeling of fighting another person one-on-one where, there's no one there to help you, and it's just you, man. It's either, live by the sword or die by the sword. And I think it just sparked something in me, and I went and looked for the first MMA gym I could find when I got back to
Japan. That's where I was living at the time. And I started training at Capoeira Okinawa Academy. And, man, I fell in love with it immediately. I told my instructor after, like, 6 months, I said, one day I'll be in the UFC. You know, that's my goal. And that's been my goal, is to make it to the UFC and fight on the big stage, man. I've competed against UFC veterans. I've competed against Bellator veterans now. And I've trained with multiple UFC veterans. And I know that I physically have what it takes to fight these guys at that level. You know, honestly, the only thing I'm lacking is just the experience. You know, I only had 7 amateur fights, which took over a span of like almost 5 years.
You just took my next freaking question, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You know, I can't find fucking opponents.
Well, no, you know, dude, listen. So, like, my next question, right? I'm like, okay, you went, and I had the number wrong because I did 6-0. But I'm like, you went 6-0 in the Ambies, but it wasn't a short process. It took years. Why did you have success? But also, why is it tough to find fights sometimes? And I couldn't even get that out. You already took the lead. So I'll shut up now, and you can continue. Why the hell is it so hard to find fights in the Ambies? You would think everybody and their brother would want it.
Man, I'll tell you right now why. It's because, if for whatever reason, at the amateur level, nobody wants to fucking fight tough people. They all want, like, easy fights. And when you run off 3, 4, 5 wins in a row as an amateur, nobody wants to fight you. I went, like, 7 months trying to get on any show I could get on. I said yes to every opponent they gave me, and nobody. I couldn't get anybody. I mean, from heavyweight down to 185, I couldn't find a fight. And it just, for whatever reason, I understand the fact that you're not getting paid as an amateur. And so people don't want to take a risk. But honestly, if you want my personal opinion, those are the fights that you should be fighting the best around. The amateur as well, the level, you should be fighting the best guys around and test yourself. Not only that, but gain that experience in the ring, in the cage, you know, like, that's where I lack right now. As a pro fighter, I'm 6-3. I've lost my last 2 fights, one by split decision and one by unanimous decision. One was against a 28-fight UFC veteran, and the other one was against a 5-fight Bellator veteran.
Right.
You know, but that's the first time I've ever went the distance against anybody. You know, all my fights as a pro, the first 4 of them I brained off were under 2 minutes, you know, and so it's just, it's tough, man, as an amateur to secure that fight, because if people aren't getting paid, they don't want to show up to get an ass whooping. You want to break it down easy? Guys these days are not fighters like they were 5, 10 years ago. Those guys would fight anybody, anywhere, anytime.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I couldn't agree more with you there. And fans listening at home, you know, when we post this, I just want to let you know, Travis is like 2 hours away from me. He's not in the room with me. But you would fucking think that right now, because he literally just rattled off my next damn question, where I said, I swear to God, man, I said, you started off 4-0 as a pro in 2016, you rolled 4-0, winning all 4 fights convincingly. You know, 2-part question, I guess, is, you know, what helped you gain success, and did fighting regularly help?
Yeah, man, well, I'll tell you, honestly, I was having a good promotion. I'm a good promoter I was working with at the time. I made a deal with him. I said, listen, I'll fight for you. I'll give you 5 fights in a year. As long as you can put on the shows, I'll be there, no matter what. I mean, I've never missed weight for any fight. You know, I've had almost like 19 or 20 fights now. I've never missed weight. I always show up. And dude, I'm not picky. I'm not sitting here going, no, I can't fight that guy. No, I can't fight that guy. You know, one thing that I've learned over the years is everyone has a hole in their game. Everyone does. At one point in time, mine was a stand-up. You know, and then I closed that hole. I went, after I lost my 5th fight, my first fight, you know, to Sid Wheeler, which was, that one fucking haunts me. I want to get that fight back so bad. I definitely am going to try to make that happen here in the next year, I can tell you that. But, I mean, I got caught with a knockout punch in fucking 6 seconds.
Yep.
That's like one of the worst ways to lose, because you don't get a chance to showcase what you can really do against a guy. And unfortunately, I had a really bad weight cut. The whole time I was training for that fight, I had a torn meniscus. meniscus to medial and lateral side, but I wasn't going to pull out of the fight. I signed the contract. I said I'd be there, and that's what I did. And, you know, it didn't go my way, but I bounced my back, had two straight stoppage wins, and then I fought Dom Steele, who really, man, it was a hard fight for me because me and him are friends. We've trained together multiple times before that. I just couldn't get mad at him. When I needed to find that extra gear to want to whoop his ass, I just couldn't find it. And Dom did a big job, man. He implemented a game plan of pressuring me, taking away my weapons, you know?
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. I was at that fight, too. And, you know, it's funny because you just did it again. My next question was, when you lost... I can't believe this. I swear to God. I said, this is unreal. I said, when you lost to Sid Wheeler in 6 seconds, how demoralizing was that? But you just addressed that. Then I said, but also, how did you mentally bounce right back as you dominated your next two opponents, Jesse Murray and Ellen Stewart?
Because I'm a fucking badass, that's why.
Yeah. Well, you know what's...
Let's just be honest, man. I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. You know what? My cook said the same thing to me. You know, so right after the fight, I had knee surgery. 4 weeks after I had knee surgery, I was back in the gym. I was taking it easy, but I started working my stand-up. You know, I was avoiding the grappling, obviously, because that's where the knee injury stemmed from, mostly. But I started working my stand-up, and I went and did 3 pro boxing fights, and I won 2 of them by knockout. And, you know, what my coach was most astonished about was, like, he's like, you know, a lot of people, when they get knocked out for the first time, when they come back to training, they're a bit hesitant in the ring, you know, because they're worried about getting knocked out again. They think that they're made of glass. But I knew that was just a lucky shot. I knew that, you know, what happened is, like, one of those weird fucking things in MMA that, you know, this guy gets lucky and throws an overhand right, and they caught me, and that was it. So I just didn't let it beat me up mentally, man. I didn't let it bring me down. I got back in there, and, you know, it took me almost 8 months before I fought MMA again, but that was because I was, you know, I turned pro in boxing and had 3 professional boxing fights in 6 months. And but, you know, I love MMA, and I'm not like normal guys that fight, you know. I don't let the stress of the fight get to me. But, man, I'm more worried about the ticket sales, dealing with all these goddamn people that wait until the last minute to buy tickets and all that. That's the stuff that's more stressful to me. I mean, I just want them to say, I got a guy, here's the date, and I'll be there. I'll be there to show up, and I promise you, no matter what, I'm going to fight my ass off, and I'm going to try to finish that guy.
And that's all you should have to worry about. You know, on a personal note, if I get on my damn soapbox, that's all you should have to worry about is training and fighting and studying your opponent and what you're going to do. That's it. All the other BS that comes with it, to me, is ridiculous. And when you work for an MMA company, it becomes even more ridiculous. Because you really, each person should have one sole focus. You know, hey man, I'm here to write and promote your fighters. Or I'm here to call the fights. That's all I'm here to do. I don't give a shit about selling sponsorships. I don't care about selling tickets. You know, this is not my hassle. I am here to promote your fighters. I've been there. I know what it feels like, and it sucks. Because you want to go, and by the way, I love sponsors. Bring me your money, you know. But no, listen, like you want to have that sole focus, because when you don't, it's going to kind of, it screws with you mentally. I get all that, you know. And let me ask you that, you know, very honestly. So I was at all those fights, by the way. I was at the Jesse Murray fight. I was at Ellen Stewart. You looked dominating in both. You know, I think it was Ellen Stewart was the one at the tail end of 2017. That's the first time I met you, when I was, you know, you got him in the first round. I was like, man, I'm like, this kid is impressive. I remember I jumped right in the cage with you. You had no idea who it was. I freaking threw out my media credential. I hopped right in and got a picture. I didn't care. You know, I was like, this dude's going places. He's either going to kick me in the balls, or he's going to be cool with me taking his picture. You know, so all that aside, like, I knew you had it, you know. So going into 2018, you fought last year at the Arnold against Jesse Murray, a former pro. Dude, that guy quit after 2 rounds. You just wore his ass out. I mean, it was incredible. But now, you know, all of a sudden in 2018, that was March, a year ago, you only got 2 more fights the rest of the year. That one with Dom Steele was incredible. I think you had the first round. I think he caught you in the solar plexus in the second round, took your wind out. And then the 3rd round was anybody's game. And then, obviously, unfortunately, I was not there, I believe, in Florida for your last fight. I would have loved to be there.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, damn, I should have went. That's only 2 hours. Because I thought you went down to Florida to train, so that's my fault there. But
I did go down there and do some training in Nashville and Florida, actually. But the fight was in Pittsburgh.
Shit, I should have went. I'll go to the next one. But yeah, so speaking.
Yeah, I should have won that goddamn fight too. Just so you know.
No, I hear
we
you.
Got ripped off by the hometown judges, but you know what? You know when you get done fighting the kid, and he comes up to you and says, he goes, "Well, man, that was an awesome fight. You know, you probably would have won if it had been anywhere else, but you know how the fight game is." And I was just like, "Man, God damn it!" you're right. I do know how the fight game is. You know, and that's why I know it's hard for me to get opponents to come fight me in Columbus because you know. No one wants to fight me in my hometown. It's like, goddamn! First of all, the kid's a stud, and then I got the crowd against me. The judges, you know, potentially are going to lean his way because he's the hometown favorite. So I get it, man. But it's been a long 2018. Fucking sucked. Let's just say that.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Let me ask you this. This is word for word my question. I wrote it down, you know, today at work. I'm so proud of myself here. I said, you had to settle for only 3 fights in 2018 because of several delays and cancellations, and you just had another fight canceled for this weekend. Question one, how much does that piss you off? Because, number one, you're not only losing money, but you're losing time that you've spent in the gym, advancement of your career, and you know what? You're not getting any younger either.
Right. To answer your question, it fucking really pisses me off. You know, I sat almost 6 months last year waiting to get a fight. And I watched 3 shows get promoted, and I didn't get on 1 fucking card.
Yep.
Then I requested I requested release out of the contract that I was stuck in. And I said, you know, cut me. You know, release me. You can't get me fights, so just let me go. And within a week of being released, I had a fight book in December. I mean, that just shows you how lack of how much that promotion was, you know, not trying to really put me on a card. Because it's not that hard. I sell more tickets than anybody else around here. I mean, you can fucking ask any promoter I've ever fought for. I sell more tickets than anybody. I'm the biggest draw in Columbus, Ohio, and probably one of the biggest draws in Ohio, period, excluding, you know, Stipe Miocic, the former heavyweight fucking champion. You know, like, I mean, I'm the biggest draw, and I can't, you know, you can't get me a fight. It just blows my mind. So, yeah, it pissed me off and wasted my time. You know, I'm one of those guys, I'll fight 5 or 6 times a year if you can get me the goddamn fight. If I'm able to fight, I'll fight next weekend. So, I don't understand why is it so hard to get me a matchup, you know?
Well, I have my own theory that I'll talk to you offline on that one. But trust me, but what, you know, what does the Ohio Athletic Commission need to change to prevent so many fights from being canceled? Because there was a couple times I know the one when I was working with Iron Tiger, I want to say October, you were supposed to fight on that October card. Then the guy didn't pass his medical or some BS. You know, what is there anything with the system that needs to change? Take a little bit of power out of the hands of the commission, or take a little bit of money or power out of the hands of a promoter? Like, what the hell needs to change? Because this is ridiculous.
Honestly, man, it's a little bit of both. You know, more than anything, I think it's promotion. It's the promoter's fault. That fight in October, I can tell you right now, the promotion dropped the ball. Because this kid sent me all the messages between him and the promotion requesting, you know, saying, look, I'll take the fight, but I don't have money for medical. You know, is there any way you can help me? No response. The kid messages back, you know, hey, I need to get my medicals done. And then after a month, they finally messaged me back, asking him if he got his medicals done. And he's like, I've been fucking trying to get you. I can't afford it. You know, when you're only getting paid $800 to show up and $800 if you win a fight, and you're over 34 years old in the state of Ohio, you have to have a CAT scan done, heart rate done, or heart monitor and stuff done, which is good. But at the same time, some of these guys can't afford to come out $600 out of their pocket for tests like that. You know, and then if you're only making $800 a fight and you got to pay $600 just to get there, well, where's the thing where it's like, well, it's worth it or it's not worth it? So, you know, to me, the kid should have just got the shit done and showed up. And when I say kid, I mean he's older than me. Obviously, he needs those medicals. But, you know, as far as the commission, man, you know, there's been times where I've been told, oh, you know, Bernie, the athletic commission won't approve it. The fight isn't going to get approved. The opponent isn't
Yep.
Unless you're calling the athletic commission yourself and saying, "Hey, Bernie, did you approve this fighter or not? And why did you approve this fighter?" I do think there are times where, you know, they make decisions based off of fight record, which is bullshit. You know, like, I mean, you can find a guy who's 3-3, but his 3 losses might be a tough guy. You know, but if you're not going to let a 3-3 fight a guy who's 6-1 or 6-2 because that guy's 6-2 and he's finished all of his fighters, for, you know, the first round, then it just doesn't make any sense. How is a fighter supposed to grow, build his record, and get to that next level if you're turning down fights for him? You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
So I feel like there's got to be a tier system to judging these fighters and who can fight who. But honestly, man, I really think a lot of it comes down to the promotion. You know, how hard are they trying to really get the fight matched? Are they, you know, are they just giving you bullshit to string you along to get you to sell tickets? You know, I don't know how many fighters have sold, you know, thousands of dollars worth of tickets, and the promoter knows that, so they drag them along knowing that they're not going to get them a fucking fight just because they hope that at the end of it, they're going to get those commissions off those sales. And it's just ridiculous, man. I really can't fucking stand how fighters are treated here in Ohio. And I mean, you ask other people from outside of Ohio, if you look around, I'll tell you, there was a guy I looked up last year. He lost his last fight. He didn't fight for like 2 years. The guy was like 9-2 or some shit. Came back after a year and a half of not fighting and got a fight against an 0-0 guy. Now, how the fuck does that happen? How do you match up on a 9-2 guy versus an 0-0 guy debut, but a guy who's 6-2 can't get a fight with somebody who's 4-6?
Money.
Who's got just more? It's money, right? And it's the fucking the promotion, the athletic commission working together.
Yep.
You know, to make fights happen. So when it doesn't happen here, you just don't know. You don't know whose fault it is, and that's the bad part about it. That's my response to that question.
No, dude. I mean, and I'll say this on the podcast, and then I'll go ahead and you wrap it up, and I'll talk to you for a second offline before I get to my next guest. I'll tell you flat out, it's total BS. And at the end of the day, you know, people get looked at as dollar signs. You know, 2 points to this. Okay, number one, guys, listening at home, Travis Davis works his ass off. He trains ridiculously hard. He owns his own landscaping company, okay? So this guy is not only running his own business, but then he's going out every single night and training and training and training and training. You don't get paid to train. Flat out. You don't make a goddamn dime to train. So basically, you want to talk about $800? $800? That's 10 cents. That's 10 cents an hour, if that. Right. If you break down every hour that he put into training for a fight to get canceled, or even the ones that go through where you're only getting $800, that's ridiculous. People talk to me all the time. They say, "Vince McKee, you have 9 published books. Why are you working full time?" Well, I'll tell you why I'm working full time. Because that book at a store might sell for $20, but when that book at a store sells for $20, I get 56 cents. That's it, 56 cents. That's why my ass drives an hour every day to collect bills out in Akron, Ohio, from deadbeats, because like we don't have a choice. But when you have a passion of something you do it because you love it. You do it because it's your passion. So then when somebody turns around and sticks the screws to you and you've lost all this time and energy, that's what happens. That's point number one. Point number two, when it comes to selling sponsorships, I'll tell you flat out, it's a ridiculous racket when it comes to MMA, because like Travis just said, they count every dime of a seat, every ass that's going to be in a seat in that arena. They are focused on every dime that's going to bring in. How am I supposed to ask a sponsor, okay, we have the show coming up, you know, it's $3,000 and you get two, cage side seats. Then the sponsor calls me the day of the fight and says, "Hey, I need two more." And then I got to tell that guy, "No, I'm sorry. We only have you budgeted for 2 free seats." This dude is shelling out $3,000 to put his name on a billboard or wherever the hell we're going to slap it on, okay? And then you're going to tell him that, "No, I'm sorry, those $75 seats are too worthy." Then you show up, and not every show's a sellout. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And then I get a call.
Two seats end up fucking empty beside him anyway.
Yeah, and then I get a call, you know, one day, the last show I worked back in October, and this is not a big deal because I don't even think this was Scott that did this or anything, but, you know, I get a call. And it's like, "Well, Vince, you really don't need to be here." Well, what are you talking about? I just sold, you know, 3 sponsorships. I got to be there to meet with the sponsors. I was going to write an article about your show. I was going to help you promote it. That's what you do. It's called being a pro. Well, you know, technically, you really don't need to be here. That's ridiculous.
I'm glad you got out of that fucking thing.
Well, to me, it's one of those things where I was so eager just to have the opportunity to be in an MMA company, you know, and I saw a lot of the inner workings and everything. So it is what it is. You know, I'm living my dream now. But honestly, Travis, I'm going to go ahead and put this on hold for a little bit. So fans, sit tight. Travis, you want to say bye to the fans real quick?
Yeah, man. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Give me a follow on Instagram. It's BamBamDavis1. And you can look me up on Facebook at BamBamDavis also. Give me a follow and pay attention, because I'm telling you, it's only going to be a matter of time, man, before I'm in the bigger state. I'm going to make things happen for myself.
And guys, the next time we have Travis on, he won't read all my questions for me. So sit tight. up next, we have Julia Horton. So Julia Horton is up next. One moment. So it is always good to talk to my buddy Travis Davis. You know, one of my pleasant times with Larry and Tugger was, you know, getting to form a few friendships. Definitely Travis being one of those. And guys, he put a lot of people on the canvas. And if you're looking for good flooring, MDG Flooring, they have you covered. You like that transition there? Pretty good. If you need quality flooring for your home or office, then look no further than MDG Flooring America in Medina. There's nothing that Steve and his talented staff cannot handle. Call them today at 330-727-5252 or stop in and visit them in person at 3812 Pearl Road in Medina. Also, Mullins Construction, doesn't matter if it's indoor or outdoor, Mullins Construction has everything your home or office will need. They even do plumbing, hot water tanks, windows, and everything else your home office will need. If you like what you're hearing, let us know. CoachVin14Yahoo.com. We're looking for sponsors right now that do, let's say, plumbing, roofing, construction, you name it, bring it in. Photography. All you people out there claim to be photographers, let's see what you can do. And real quick, Soccer Shots. My daughter Maggie plays it. She loves it. Soccer Shots here in Cleveland. The grass will be green soon enough. And the pitch will be perfect for some outdoor action. Sign your kids up today for Soccer Shots. It's an excellent program to teach your child about exercise and overall hard work. We talked a little bit earlier, you know, about candy and Italian food and popcorn. Eventually, you're going to need to work that off. And if you're looking for a place to work off those pounds and have a busy schedule and need a place that's always open, check out the Workout Factory at 5508 Ridge Road in Parma. And then finally today, Setta Trophy has been a staple in Northeast Ohio, in the Northeast Ohio community for 40 years for all your trophy and celebration needs. This trusted company is on time and completes work to perfection every time. Visit them today at 4335 Rocky River Drive. All right, fans, welcome back to Key On Sports. We just got done with MMA fighter Travis Davis, and we are going to wrap up the show by switching back to this what they call the squared circle, the sweet science. And Julia Horton joins us. And like I said earlier in the show, the other night, there were two outstanding... Well, first of all, there was a lot of outstanding fighters. Her boyfriend, for one, we'll get to him. But there was, Ben Cottrell, and there was... just so many good fighters. However, in my heart of hearts, my opinion, there were two women who stuck out. And that was our earlier guest, Amanda Froelich, and now Julia Horton as well. So... I was very eager to talk to Julia, and thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you.
Oh, very good. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the broadcast of your fight last weekend, but again, you did an excellent job, so good job there.
Thank you.
Oh, no doubt about it. It was a long night, but it was fun. So basically,
yeah,
just
it definitely was.
So basically, just to tell the fans out there, how old are you and where are you from?
I'm 20 years old, and I am from Wadsworth, Ohio.
Cool. Wadsworth always had good football teams. What athletes have you looked up to growing up?
Athletes I looked to growing up, honestly, I really enjoy watching Joanna Jędrzejczyk off the UFC. She was phenomenal strawweight. She always has been. She held on to the belt so long, and she was kind of the one who really got me interested in getting into boxing and getting into MMA, and I saw her do it, and I was like, you know what, I can do that, and just, she's really awesome, and she's a humble champ, and, just looking up to her as I grew up was definitely one of my major influences.
Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because I was just about to ask you what got you interested in boxing, But you didn't answer the second part of the question, which is good. So what steps did you take to get involved?
So at first I started just doing a little bit of boxing kind of at home, like doing it myself. And then I went to Evolve, which was on 18th, for a little bit before I ended up relocating up to Strong Style in Independence, and I found my home. And just working with coaches like Steve Tracy and Marcus, and it just propelled me further to like get to like that competition level where I felt good getting into the ring or getting into the cage, hopefully down the line. So those are definitely the steps that I took to get here, and it's been a great journey so far, and I can't wait for more.
Oh yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. You are definitely in the right place for that. You know, I know my friend Brian Gideon works there as well, so definitely you guys are loaded with talented teachers. You know,
And
that's a great transition. That's a great transition. You know, because let me ask you this question: how much does a good trainer or gym help you prepare and grow for a fight?
Absolutely, so much, so much. When I first came to Strong Style, I kind of did like a smoker, and I was like, you know, I was fresh at Strong Style. I haven't like had a lot of like the one-on-ones, like mitt sessions and stuff yet, and I did okay. And then it was maybe 2 or 3 months later when I really got with Steve every like Tuesday and Friday, hitting mitts, and I was hitting all the classes and getting all the help from them, and I was a completely different fighter the second time I went back in there, and they saw it, and a lot of people saw it. And so honestly, having that support and just the knowledge that they have is insane. Like, we have so much knowledge, so much talent, and even being in a gym where we have about 5 or 6 girls right now training here, so I have like unbelievable training partners, and just having even some of the smaller guys, like, they're amazing to go with, and they teach everyone. It's always a learning opportunity here, and so it's amazing to be surrounded by them. And like I said, it completely changed me as a fighter, and like, and that how it was what I was able to show on Friday for all that hard work and the dedication for my team. I cannot do it without them at all.
Well, you looked incredible on Friday. I mean, I don't know. Have you had a chance to go back and listen to any of the call?
But yes, I did, actually.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's gotten a lot of hits. It's one of the most popular things we've ever done. So thank you very much. But I told Eli, and I was joking around, you know, my broadcast partner Eli, he never shuts up for like 10 consecutive seconds. But I did slip it in there at one point during your fight. I'm like, you know, she's going to stop her. I'm like, you know, just like I said in Amanda's fight, same thing. I'm like, you were just coming at her and coming at her and coming at her. You know, at 119 pounds, you know, you might not be landing like massive knockout blows. I get all that. But
right. You
were just nonstop pressure, nonstop. And I'm like, I mean, her headgear came off twice, and I'm like, they're going to stop this fight.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and, like, back to, like, kind of the last question, I mean, in preparation for that fight, we were doing, like, 3 to 4 minute rounds, like, in 4 in a row or 5 in a row. We were going for, like, 10, 15 minutes at a time. So when I got in there, that 90 seconds was, like, a blink of the eye. It was so fast. And so definitely prepping, and I'm building up my cardio, I was able to keep that constant pressure. And in boxing, that's what you have to do a lot of times with such short time, like the point system. So definitely that cardio and everything that I had in preparation for that fight helped me, you know, keep that pressure up and not get tired or winded pretty quick. So,
well, you mentioned cardio, and that leads me to my next question. What is a normal day of training consist for you? Now, I don't need you to go into like every rep that you do, but, you know,
yeah. If
you want to generalize it, go right ahead. What does a normal day consist of?
Yeah, so it's sometimes different whether I'm in, like, an MMA camp or I'm doing boxing camp. So for boxing, which was last Friday, my normal routine, if it's not a sparring day, is I'm running 3 miles under, like, 25 minutes, 3 rounds of shadow boxing, 3 rounds of bag work, and a mitt work session for about a half hour to 45 minutes. And those are, like, kind of quote-unquote, like, my off days from sparring, and then sparring, it's usually about 3 minute rounds, 4 in a row, or 2 minute rounds, 4 in a row, just depending on the day. So, and then a conditioning session with our amazing strength and conditioning coaches here. So,
what's your diet like?
So I actually was because of all the conditioning and everything we do, I was actually underweight for this past fight. I came in at 117,
And so I just really am trying to be conscious of this, like, my food intake. I usually take about a lot of carbs before I come into training because we do have such long practices and rigorous practices. But a lot of chicken, rice, pork loin, just kind of that lean meat, and stay away from as much sugar as I can. And carbs, like, after practice, I don't like to do before bed and everything. And then just a lot of water as well.
A lot of water. I know that very well. And what, you know, what do you feel goes into making a good fighter? What qualities make a good boxer?
I really think determination. You have to be determined in this sport because every day you come into the gym, you don't always leave a winner. Some days it's not your day. You come in, you just have a bad day. You feel like you're moving in quicksand. You feel like you can't win anything. So just that determination and perseverance for sure. To get past those bad days, to get those rewarding days when you do feel on top of it, you feel good, you know. So definitely just have perseverance. Also, humility is a huge thing, too. I know being at Sean's style kind of goes back to like what I was saying with the people here are amazing. They're amazing fighters here. And like I said, every day's not your best day, but you have to be willing to accept that. And, you know, if someone's like, hey, I saw you were doing this, you were doing this. You gotta be willing to, like, you're so well, like, thank you so much for, like, the help. There's a lot of people kind of get that, I don't want to say ego, but sometimes it is where they're like, oh, you know what I mean, I've been doing this longer. Like, you don't have to, you know, I don't want you to tell me anything. But definitely just kind of having that humility to, like, step back and be like, right, well, thank you so much for that tip. Even if they're new, because sometimes you just need fresh eyes. Or sometimes you just need someone who just walked over and noticed you were doing something and were like, hey, try this. Like, thank you. Like, you know, because that's the sport. You have to have it. And if you don't, it's really hard, especially in a very team-oriented game as well. So definitely perseverance, determination, humility are huge things. So
I'll tell you, you are a fun interview right now. You are. This is. I'm having fun. I hit those one or two word answers. I've had three really good interviews tonight. I'm very happy. I'm just sitting there thinking about that between you, Travis Davis, and Amanda. Hell yeah. So you know, let me ask you this question too, and I'll talk about Max here in a second, but. You're 20 years old, you know what I mean? So you probably have unlimited energy. Obviously, you take great care of yourself. What do you do for fun? Like, when you're not training, when you're not fighting, a random night off, what do you do for fun?
Honestly, this is my fun, because I'm a full-time student at Kent State. I work a job. I'm a part of four different organizations, and I still make time to come here. So definitely my fun is the gym. But, if anything, I love to sleep, obviously.
I know the feeling, you know, like I told Amanda, you know, hey, man, same way here. You know, I work a job, normal job out at Continental Rubber, 45 hours a week. I have a wife and two kids that take number one priority in my life. But, yeah, I mean, this Keon Sports thing, I didn't know it was going to grow to be as big as it has in this short of amount of time. It's freaking sweet that it has. But, yeah. I mean, there's not many nights off. I mean, our boxing coverage has exploded. Our Battle in the Ballroom show did incredible numbers. Our show with Nick Dujanier, we did with him, did incredible numbers. I know this one's going to just destroy it. Friday Night Fights did incredible numbers. So there's definitely a pull, you know, in this area of the state for boxing and MMA. And for me, a lifelong boxing and MMA fan, you know, I'm proud of that fact. Now, you know, with that being said, growing up as a kid, I used to watch Rocky all the time. I still do. I'm a Rocky fanatic of all the Rockies. For you, what is your favorite, number one, what is your favorite movie, and what is your favorite boxing movie?
Okay, my favorite, it's not necessarily boxing, but I love Warrior.
Yeah.
The MMA movie with Tom Hardy and the, I think it's Joel Edgerton.
That's excellent. Warriors.
Yes, I love that movie. I could watch it all the time. It's so good. That's definitely my favorite, probably, MMA movie. As for my favorite movie, I do not know, because I'm a huge movie fan, so I love them all. I love the superhero action movies. It's probably one of those. But I'm a big movie person. But definitely my favorite is The Warrior as a boxing or fighting movie. So
Oh, yeah, it's excellent. My buddy, Dave Murphy, who's going to be listening to this, he borrowed it 3 years ago, hasn't given it back yet, so I'm going to send you and Max over there to kick his butt. And speaking to Max, I have to embarrass him a little bit. You know, as fans probably don't know this, and I just found out the other night, you guys are dating, are you not?
Yes, we've been dating we're coming up on 2 years this summer.
Very cool. And Max also had a very, very impressive performance on Friday night. I should probably try to get him on the show next.
Yeah.
So, that being said, do you get more nervous for your fights or his?
Ooh, that is a tough one. honestly, probably his. Because I feel like, in a way, I can control my own fights. But I'm like, I know, like, the work that he puts in. I know how he fights, you know. Because like, I get to see, like, the physical battle in the gym. But as well as, like, behind the scenes, the mental battle. You know what I mean? And, like, I always make sure he eats good. Like, we're always make sure, like, you know, we don't
No, that's awesome. That shows you got a big heart. That's really cool. That's not a bad thing, trust me. You know, for me personally, and you know, I got one more question left for you, but I have to tell a quick story. So like for me, you know, I've been doing books. I got 9 published books. Even yesterday I was on TV for a little bit. And, you know, like you said, like you get a day off and you use it for, you know, your passion. But like all those things are great. They're all gravy. You know what I mean? I've been on Drennan Live a few times. All of it's cool, radio, all of it. But nothing gives me a bigger thrill, you know, than when my daughter, Maggie, who's 5 and a half now, when she was like 2 and a half, and she was like spelling out the ABCs, like ripping off ABCs, counting to 20. Like to me, because it's like, because that's who you love, and that's what, you know what I mean? Like you get a little more nervous for that person and more excited for that person. So I totally get it. Like, I trust me, like wait till one day when you have kids, like, you want to, like, unbelievable joy, but, like, unbelievable grief and stress. Like, when you have kids, it's, you know, nonstop.
Yep.
That is ways away for you, because you got a bright future ahead of you. And that leads me...
You.
Oh, I saw it right away. I saw it right away. Like, not even 20 seconds into the first round, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this girl is amazing. Like I said, you and Amanda
so
both. Oh, no problem. And like I said, Max did great. Ben Cottrell out of Tri-County or T-County Boxing did great. There were a couple good strong style fighters that did great. There was Vic Christian. There were a lot of good performances that night, but without a doubt, you and Amanda stole the show. So my final question, what is next for Julia Horton?
So I'm back in the gym already. I'm just kind of training. I might do a couple grappling tournaments coming up, and then if the opportunity presents itself, I'll get back into the ring, and then hopefully we're looking for the summer to get into the cage and do some MMA. So,
wow.
Kind of just filling out, cleaning it up, everything up, kind of getting some grappling back in, because I've been in that boxing camp for a little bit.
Yep.
So my hands are up to date, my hands are good, so we're just going to get a little bit of grappling in. And then probably a couple more boxing matches as well, and then hopefully get in the cage this summer.
Well, for selfish reasons, I really do hope you do the battle in the ballroom on May 17th, because I just want to call another one of your fights, and I'll tell Eli to, like, go, you know, get some coffee or something so I can actually talk.
Yes, that would be great.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm going to let you go at this time, and I will let you know when I post this. I was going to wait until next week to post this episode, but it has been so doggone good. I might sneak it on you and Amanda and Travis, and I might actually post it tonight or tomorrow. But we'll see. It all depends what the kids want to do when I hang up the phone.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And you tell Max he's next, okay? I'm gonna get him out here as soon as possible.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, that does it for tonight. Those three interviews we did tonight were all incredible. For very different reasons, each one. The truth of Travis Davis, what he had to say, something, you know, comments I echo myself, to be very honest with you, about different things in life. But also Amanda and Julia. Guys, I can't stress it enough just how talented these two young females are. I hope and pray I get to call some more of their fights very, very soon. And as you know, when I left my former company to start my own podcast, start my own little website here, It was the biggest things I wanted to do was boxing, MMA, and high school sports. Again, boxing, MMA, and high school sports. And as you have already seen, that is definitely our big three. You hear about NBA basketball all the time with the big three. That is our big three. We crank it out all the time. Boxing, MMA, and high school sports. Tonight was an unbelievably fun episode. It will do great numbers because every time we talk boxing, it explodes. And that helps our sponsors. If you're a sponsor of a show, it's heard by thousands of people. Wouldn't you want that? A 30-second commercial on a show that was heard by thousands of people almost every single time. You can't beat that. You can't. Especially with how low our prices are. CoachVin14 at Yahoo.com. Coming up in the coming months, we have the MAC tournament we're going to be covering. The state championships of basketball. NFL draft. It's going to get bigger and better, guys. So for now, I thank everybody. This has been Keon Sports. And as always, the Drew McIntyre theme song will play us out with this little special message for you-know-who. Take care, guys.